عليكم حرمت عليكم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به والمنخنقة والموقوذة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيت وما ذبح على النصب وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام ذلكم فسق اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the things that are halal, haram to us. So we have taken al-maytatu wa-damu wa-lahmu al-khinzir wa-ma uhilla li-ghayrillahi bihi wal-munqanikatu wal-mawqudatu wal-mutaraddiyatu wal-natihatu wa-ma akala as-sab'u and then we treated illa ma zakkaytu. Right?
No.
So I think that's where we stopped. Or did we continue?
We continue.
Or we continue. فإلا ما زكيتم وما ذبح على النصب وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام ذلكم فسق اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. I think this is where we stop. So فمن اضطر في مخمصة غير متجانف لإثم فإن الله غفور رحيم. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says فمن اضطر في مخمصة. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he has permitted, I mean he has made haram for us the things that he mentioned. All the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Allah says they are haram. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make an exception. Those things are haram for us under normal circumstances. Under normal circumstances, you cannot eat carrion. Any animal that dies on its own without being slaughtered, you cannot eat that. You cannot eat al-maytatu wa-damu. You cannot also consume blood that has been spilled. It's not consumable, it's haram. Then you cannot eat wa-lahmu al-khinzir, pork. You can't eat pork at all. Any part of the pig is not edible for the Muslim. So Allah says all those things that he mentioned amongst the things that can be eaten. وَلَهُمُ الْخَنْزِيرُ وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ وَالْمُنْخَنِقَةُ وَالْمَوْقُوذَةُ وَالْمُتَرَدِّيَةُ وَمَا وَالنَّطِيحَةُ وَمَا أَكَلَ السَّبُعُ. All of those you cannot eat. Unless you were able to slaughter them before they died. If any of those things happens to them, but you were able to slaughter before they died, then you can eat. Now, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if not, then you cannot eat them. He mentioned some other things which are not about eating. Like وَمَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّصُبِ that's for eating. وَأَنْ تَسْتَقْسِمُوا بِالْأَزْلَامِ that one is not about eating. But that is also something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is haram for the Muslims. In fact, that will lead one to shirk. So any form of divining. So, but after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned all of those things that we cannot eat, after he had mentioned all of those things that you cannot eat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ فِي مَخْمَسَةٍ. Whoever is forced because of makhmasa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the things that make you pious. شَفْقُ رَقَبَةٍ أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَةٍ. Not that one. That's not the one I'm looking for. Makhmasatin. I've forgotten that one now. But anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are forced by severe hunger. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in an authentic hadith of his, it's in the hadith that لو أنتم لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو
خماصا
خماصا خماصا from مخمصة خماصا. So when the bird leaves its nest, the stomach is empty, there is nothing in it. So that when Allah says, فَمَنْ يَطَرَّ فِي مَخْمَسَةٍ, whoever finds himself in such a condition that he is empty, nothing in his stomach. Some ulama say it means that there was no breakfast, there was no dinner. And then the next day, there was no food too. And then you found carrion, or you found pork, or you found hamburger that is made from ham. You know ham, you say, is a part of pork. Or you found any of those things that Allah has said are haram. فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ فِي مَخْمَسَةٍ أَيْ أُجْهِدَ فِي مَجَاعَةٍ وَالْمَخْمَسَةُ خَلُوُّ الْبَطْنِ مِنَ الْغَذَاءِ. So there was no breakfast, there was no dinner, you know, and then the next day, nothing in the stomach. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِفٍ لِإِثْمٍ أي غَيْرُ مَائِلٍ إِلَىٰ إِثْمٍ وَهُوَ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ فَوْقَ الشِّبْعِ. If somebody is not one that is leaning towards sinning against Allah, what does that mean? Unless you get to such a level that you want to eat beyond your need, you want to eat beyond what you need, that will be when you will be mutajanifin li ithmi. Fa inna Allah ghafurur rahim. If it's not that, then it's permissible. But if you want to be greedy, then that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you're a sinner. So even when you find something that is haram, but because of your condition, you have to eat it to survive. When you eat, and you have eaten to your fill, you leave it. Once you go beyond that now, you are mutajanifin li'ithmi. If you are not that, then فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, and it's all merciful. There is a hadith that has been reported, and it's said to be a hadith reported by Abu Waqid al-Laythi. It says, a man said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, إِنَّا نَكُونُ بِالْأَرْضِ فتصيبنا بها المخمصة فمتى تحل لنا الميتة. He says we will be, we find ourselves sometimes in a particular land. Of course it means we are strangers there, we don't know anybody. And in fact there are maybe no houses around. So one finds himself in the wilderness. And then one gets so hungry, there is nothing to eat. He says, when shall it be permissible? When shall it be permissible for us to eat carrion? Somebody said carrion, right? Huh? Somebody said it's carrion, not carrion. Where is Harba? Oh, okay. It's your own. Your batteries are down. SubhanAllah. You don't have some other batteries, only these ones. So he says, when shall it be permissible for us to eat carrion, maita? Faqala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, it shall be permissible for you once ma lam tasfadihu أو تغتبقوا أو تحتفئوا بها بقلا فشأنكم بها أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Even though there is a maqal in this hadith in the first place, but then it said that Rasul صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم says, if you find yourself in such a condition that you had no breakfast, you had no lunch, no dinner, and then it was the next day you still did not find anything to eat, then if you find yourself in such a condition, it's getting critical. So if you get maita, you can eat. But at least you can survive the day. If you fast, for instance, and it's time for iftar, and you cannot find food to eat, you can still survive till the next day. But if till the next day you don't find anything to eat, then don't continue. If you fast today and you had no iftar, and then the next morning no suhoor, you get to the next day, you are going to continue fasting now for 48 hours. If you find food and you find yourself in a critical condition, break the fast and eat. The same thing, if you find yourself in such a condition and you find nothing but that which is haram, you can eat it. Eat it till such a time that you'll be able to find something better. Once you find halal, then you stop eating the haram. And you eat it only to your food. So you don't take extra to keep eating. No. Because you are hoping that you get out of that condition and you find something better. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. This hadith, it is said that in the isnad, there is the person who is known as Al-Hasan. Hassan, I mean. Hassan bin Atiyah. If he reports from Abu Waqid al-Laythi, his report is not accepted because it is not authentically reported that he met or he learned from Abu Waqid al-Laythi. That's one. Two, Abu Waqid al-Laythi, his suhbah is under contention. Some ulama say he is amongst the Sahaba, some say he is not. So if you get report from such a person, and he says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, then of course you know that it's questionable until you can get it through some other means. But then ordinarily, if you look at his statements, There is nothing wrong with it if he had not said Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it's known logically that under normal circumstances, man can last for a whole day without food. But when you get into the next day again, then it begins to get critical. So if at such a time you cannot find food, whatever you find, you eat. If you cannot find halal, then you eat that which ordinarily would have been haram. So if the animal is considered maita, but then you cannot find any other, then you eat it. Or it's Christmas food, or it's New Year food, or it's Easter food, all of those. Ordinarily, you are not encouraged to eat that, even though some ulama say you can eat, if it's not something that was slaughtered. So if they give you bread for Easter, if they give you bread for Christmas, for New Year, you can eat those, according to some ulama. But it shouldn't be something that was slaughtered. But then some even say, even if it was slaughtered, that you can eat. Wallahu ta'ala ala. But then, what I find most authentic is that if it was slaughtered in the name of other than Allah, or for a festivity other than the one that Allah permits, then it should not be eaten. But if you find yourself in a critical condition, as is being described now, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى. Let's go.
يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا أُحِلَّ لَهُمْ قُلْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتُ وَمَا عَلَّمْتُمْ مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ مُكَلِّبِينَ تُعَلِّمُونَهُنَّ مِمَّا عَلَّمَكُمُ اللَّهُ فَكُلُوا مِمَّا أَمْسَكْنَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَاذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ.
Allah says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا أُحِلَّ لَهُمْ قُلْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتُ وَمَا عَلَّمْتُمْ مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ مُكَلِّبِينَ تُعَلِّمُونَهُنَّ مِمَّا عَلَّمَكُمُ اللَّهِ فَكُلُوا مِمَّا أَمْسَكْنَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَاذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Allah says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ, they ask you. So the Sahaba were asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam questions, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving them answers. So this is how the deen is learned. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا أُحِلَّ لَهُمْ. So that they didn't used to do anything unless they had asked Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and he had told them exactly what is it they should do. That's why Al-Imam Al-Akhbari Al-Bisikri rahimahullah says, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ أَنْ يَفْعَلَ فِعْلًا حَتَّى يَعْلَمَ حُكْمَ اللَّهِ فِيهِ. Right? So, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا أُحِلَّ لَهُمْ. They ask you concerning what has been made halal for them. Like we said yesterday, or was it 2 days ago, halal is wider than haram. Haram is itemized. Allah says, this is haram. Anything Allah does not tell you is haram. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam does not tell you is haram, is halal. If somebody says it's haram, tell him, I have heard. Just tell him, you have heard. But he has no right to declare anything haram, except that which Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have declared haram. Or that which analogy by the ulama has shown that can be compared to something that's haram and it can also be declared as haram. Analogy is also valid in Islam. And the ijma of ulama is also valid in Islam. أها أطيع الله وأطيع الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. أولي الأمر هي include the ulama too. ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين. سبيل المؤمنين is where إجماع and so on will come in. So you don't declare anything haram unless any of these has passed through the hukum and has declared it haram. Wallahu alam. So قُلْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتُ. So the general ruling is that anything that is healthy for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal for you. So look at the things that are halal in Islam. All of them are healthy for human consumption. Anything that Islam declares haram, modern sciences also agree that those things are not good for human consumption. Anything that Islam declares haram, for instance, pork. There are scientists, non-Muslims, who are coming out today to say that, okay, they do not prevent you from eating pork. You can eat if you want to, but pork, actually, if they were to tell you, is unhealthy. It has this, it has this, it has... They say so many things about it that show that it is haram. What of carrion? An animal that dies without being slaughtered is also not good for you. It's inimical to your health. And scientists also keep explaining these things. So simply, whatever is good for consumption is halal. And you will find that all the things Islam has said are haram are not good for consumption, are not healthy in the first place. And anyway, as Muslims, whether you get into the lab or anywhere, and whatever you're using to test it shows you that the thing is good for consumption, as long as Allah says it is haram, we believe it's not good. Whether we see that it is good, we believe it's not good. And if Allah tells us it is good, and the microscope says it is bad, we say you have lied. We will tell the microscope you have lied. No, too well. As long as Allah says it is good, we believe it is good, and inshallah it will continue to be good. Whatever was good for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will be good for the whole of mankind, because the Prophet is sent rahmatan lil alameen, mercy to mankind. So anything that he engaged in is healthy for the whole of humanity. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. So Allah says uhilla lakum at-tayyibat. So first of all that is good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal for you. وَمَا عَلَّمْتُمْ مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ. And particularly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for you halal those animals that are ordinarily halal for you to hunt. Those animals that are ordinarily halal for you to hunt. Which ones are halal? The ones that have not been declared haram, all of them are halal. So if you get into the forest, you get into the wild as a hunter, you see an animal, the first thing you want to know is it amongst the animals that are haram? If it is, do not hunt it. Because if you are not going to kill any animal, to eat any animal, or you are not going to use the meat or the bone or the skin, you are not allowed to kill it. If you kill it and waste the meat, that is wrong. Anything you do not need, you do not kill, unless it is harmful to you. Like if it is amongst the fawasik, then you can kill it. What are the fawasik? Those animals, they are found at home, but they are dangerous. to the human. They harm human beings. Like what? Like snake. Snake is number one. Because that one can kill. And then what?
Scorpion,
yes. Scorpion is another one. That one cannot kill, but it can make you very uncomfortable. It's very painful. So that one too you can kill. Which one again? Rat. That one is a thief. That one is destructive. So which one again? Onion. Bald eagle. Wall gecko, exactly. Wall gecko. You know wall gecko? Do you know wall gecko? What is wall gecko? You don't know wall gecko. So wall gecko, taka. You know taka? It's permissible to kill that one too. There's an authentic hadith that permits that we kill it. So except such animals, the most dangerous animal in the world, you people did not mention it. Which is the most dangerous animal in the world? The one that is more harmful to humans than all other animals. The most dangerous. Spider? Or what did you say? You don't know the most dangerous animal? Mosquito. It's more dangerous than lions though. It kills more human beings than lions can kill. Abi? There is no other dangerous animal that kills human beings as much as mosquitoes do. Is there? At least in Africa. Even though I saw something funny. Within Africa, I was in Egypt, I had malaria. I was looking for malaria tablet, there was none. Yes, there was none. We went around Cairo, they had no drug for malaria. No drug at all. And they said, if you allow the government to hear that you have malaria, they will quarantine you. And if after 2 weeks you don't get well, they will send you out of their country. So I have to keep quiet. Yes, now I kept quiet. I went for surgery, which is a more serious issue than the malaria I have. So if they prevent me from having the surgery and I come back, all the money wasted. So I was bearing it like that and just taking Panadol. Fortunately, their Panadol is so strong that it can suppress a lot of the feverishness you have for some time before, you know, like that. I was managing it until I came back. When I came back, I treated malaria. So if it had been time for me, it would have killed me. So mosquito, you are allowed to kill mosquitoes because it's harmful to you. We just pray that our government will wake up one day and decide that we are going to eliminate all the mosquitoes we have in our country. How did Egypt get to the level that they got to? It's a responsible government now. It's not as if there were no mosquitoes there before. Is there any country in the world that ordinarily should not have mosquitoes? Maybe only Antarctica or all those places, Iceland, all those very, very cold areas, they cannot survive there. But any other place, there are mosquitoes. It's just that the government takes care of the problem and it goes. So you don't find mosquitoes in such places. You go to Saudi Arabia, you don't see house flies, you don't see mosquitoes. And there are those things everywhere. There is human waste everywhere because pilgrims are plenty. But they take care of those things, you don't get affected by them. May Allah give us pious leaders so that they take care of these things for us. Not the situation we see here, where we stay for 5 days, no light, and then government house, there are more than 1,000 panels. They are enjoying solar power, 24 hours. And then we would stay for 5 days without light. When we have a power supply, 10 minutes is gone. We'll not have it again until after 3 days. And then the government is bold enough, shameless enough, to have more than 1,000 panels or so. I don't know how many those things are. That you have light 24 hours in your own case. Is this not zalunti? May Allah guide them. وَمَا عَلَّمْتُمْ مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ. And whatever you have taught, if you have مُكَلِّبِينَ تُعَلِّمُونَهُنَّ مِمَّا عَلَّمَكُمُ اللَّهِ. So it says, somebody that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam nicknamed Zayd al-Khair. His name is actually Zayd. Zayd bin al-Muhalhal al-Ta'iyyin. That is, he reported from Adi bin Hatim wa Zayd. And he said, Sammahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Zayd al-Khair. Qala, they said to Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam, Ya Rasulullah, Inna qawmun nasibu bil kilab wal bazaar. فَمَاذَا تَحِلُّ لَنَا مِنْهَا. It says, we are a people that we hunt. We have, you know, animals that can hunt for us. We have dogs, we have birds that can also hunt something for us. Now, if we are like that, and we go for hunting, what is it that if they bring home to us, we can eat? And what is it that if they bring to us, we cannot eat? He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and then it is said that this is the sababun nuzul of the ayah. There are other reports concerning what the sababun nuzul of the ayah is. It is said that when Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was commanded to kill dogs, the sahaba said to him, Ya Rasulullah, ماذا يحل لنا من هذه الأمة التي أمرت بقتلها. What is permitted for us from amongst these animals that you have been ordered to kill? Which one of them can we hold on to and own so that they'll be useful to us? فنزلت هذه الآية. It is said that then this ayah was revealed. Al-Imam al-Zahabi authenticated this particular report. فَلَمَّا نَزَلَتْ أَذْنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِتْنَاءِ الْكِلَابِ أَلَّتِي يُنْتَفَعُ بِهَا وَنَهَا عَنْ إِمْسَاكِ مَا لَا نَفْعَ فِيهِ مِنْهَا. So when this was revealed, Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ then said, it is now permissible for you to train dogs that can catch game for you while you're hunting, or any other animal that you can keep to catch things for you in the forest, game for you while you're hunting. But particularly here, dogs were mentioned. Says the ones you can use to hunt for you. But then he presented the ones that are not useful. So which ones are not useful amongst dogs? I see some breeds of dogs. There are some that the dog is just as small as this my palm. You know those dogs? Eh? That one is above Copio. Even if it grows up to 30 years, it will still be like that. Copio is the one that's still young. This one is not the age. That is how they are. They are very cute dogs like that. Very beautiful. They look cute. You see their eyes bright and they are small like this. They have very shiny fur. Only the rich people even can own such dogs because they are expensive. So they keep such dogs. They sleep on their bed. Some go around with them in their cars. And everywhere they eat together with them, A'udhu Billah. So such a dog now, what is the use of such a dog? What is the use? There is no use. There are some that they are not those small ones, they are big, but they cannot hunt, they cannot do anything, they cannot even bark. They are just there to decorate the house. They pull anywhere and then you have to pack it. But that's all they do. They eat like nonsense. There is one that was trained in a house that I lived in somewhere. That dog was named Susie. They gave it the name Susie. What it eats is in the morning, they have one milk like that. Like this canned milk that human beings take. They have their own canned milk, the dogs. They buy from supermarkets. They will prepare that for her like pap. She'll take it in the morning. She'll be wagging her tail. That thing must be very sweet. Because when she's taking it, she's wagging her tail, she's excited. She takes that in the morning. In the afternoon, they'll bring her chicken. You know chicken? They bring her chicken. This is ugly chicken. When she eats, she'll eat the flesh and leave the bone. Yeah. She'll eat the flesh and leave the bone. Those same chicken, if I am eating, I do not leave anything. You know anything? Nothing. I do not throw anything away. I eat the bone. Everything is so soft, and the bone sometimes is even more delicious than the but the dog will never touch the bone. It will leave the bone and just eat the flesh. And then there is a turkey in our house. If that turkey charges at Susie, it will run to you and seek cover from you. You will be coming between the dog and the chef. So, how useful is that dog? A waste of resources. Waste of resources. And the security men in that house, one day one of them bought something in the evening that I was going to eat. He bought akara and pap. So when Susie was smelling that akara, she thought it was maybe hamburger or something. And she came, I was smelling it and was, he said, you know, go chop this one. This one, you go please chop akara. No, go please chop akara. You wear the chopped chicken every day. So that thing he was saying to that dog, he was actually angry with the situation that there is a dog that's eating chicken and he is eating akara. Then one day they went for the chicken, it was finished in the hotel. There was no chicken at all. They looked everywhere, there was no chicken. So they went to the market, got this one we call brisket bone. With a lot of meat on it, oh, they bought that one, they boiled rice, you know, they prepared something like jollof rice for it. with that meat in it. They poured it on the tray. When it came and smelled it, it fell on the ground. Said, I will not eat, I will not eat. It was rolling on the ground. Said, you will not eat. Do not eat rice and meat. So the soldier was saying, you will not fit eat rice and meat. Now you go eat akara. So what is the need for such dogs? How do you need such dogs? So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, the ones that you need, you will keep them for such use. But the ones you do not need, throw them away. Don't hold on to them. So it is haram for the Muslim to sell dog. It is haram for the Muslim to sell it. You cannot, if you sell it, you cannot use that money. In the first place, you cannot even sell it. You shouldn't even own it to sell. If you own it, and maybe there is a female, and she gets pregnant and gives birth, you can give it to somebody who wants to train it also for some use. But you cannot sell it. You cannot consume the money that you make from it. Because you cannot sell it, ulama say it is also haram to eat it. Just like the cat, you also should not sell the cat. And so you cannot eat cat too. And there are many other reasons why the ulama say cat is haram. Even though Malikiya would say dog is haram. Even though Malikiya would say dog is makruh. If they say it is makruh, does it mean you can eat it? No. If Malikiya says you something is makruh, it is almost haram to them. Because only the not so noble people will be engaging in whatever is makruh. And if you engage in makruh, it will get you to haram. So in the first place, if Malikiya says it's makruh, it's because they really cannot find the reason why they should say haram, but it is something that they will never get close to. They will avoid it like a plague. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam permits us to hold on to dogs that we will train to hunt for us. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, man ittakhadha kalban illa kalb mashiyatin aw saydin aw zar'in intaqasa min ajrihi kulla yawmin qirab aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith is reported by Imam al-Bukhari. The lafz of an Imam al-Bukhari is man amsaka kalban فإنه ينقص كل يوم من عمله قيراط إلا كلب حرف أو ماشية. الإمام مسلم also reported it. المصنف report المصنف that is the author of this tafsir. He also reported it in his book شرح السنة. It's volume 11, page 209. So it's an authentic hadith. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, whoever owns a dog, unless the dog is the one that is supposed to guard the farm, or the one that is supposed to hunt for you, or is supposed to guard your products or produce, unless it is that, it guards your house against thieves and other forms of insecurity, or it guards your farm, or it hunts for you. Unless it is such a dog, whoever owns a dog for a purpose that is not these ones we have mentioned, every day it will take away your reward, the size of a qirab. Qirab is something like the Mount Uhud. Mount Uhud, I understand, is about 20 something kilometers. So if you have a mountain that is, let's say, 5 kilometers, let's even say that the mountain is not up to 1 kilometer, just a mountain, just one small mountain, the mountains that we know. If you have reward that is up to a mountain, every day you'll be losing that kind of reward. How many rewards do you have on the ground? So how many will be left by the time you leave this world? You probably will be in red. So that what will be mounting for you now will be seen. We are not allowed to do such things. So Muslims, the fact that you see non-Muslims engaging in a habit is not the reason why you should think it's normal that you can also engage in it. In fact, if non-Muslims are known with anything, is the more reason why you should be very careful before you get into it. You should be asking first, is it permissible for Muslims? Because some Muslims now are getting into the habit of keeping dogs as pets. The ones that do not keep dogs, you see women moving around with teddy bear. Teddy bear is not a real bear, teddy. Timsal. And they'll be moving around with it around their waist and holding it. And it is a form of what now? I don't know. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you see such things, you should break them. So ordinarily, if you see that kind of teddy bear, you should tear it in pieces and scatter it. It should not exist. But Muslims are even decorating it, buying it, expensive one, and then moving around with it. This is not the habit of a Muslim. وَمَا عَلَّمْتُمْ مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ مُكَلِّبِينَ تُعَلِّمُونَهُنَّ مِمَّا عَلَّمَكُمُ اللَّهِ. So if you are holding any dog for hunting, then it must be a dog that you have taught. It should not just be any dog. If you send just any dog, what it catches will not be for you. It will catch to eat, not for you. So, but if you train the dog, it catches for you, not for itself. So when you are about to send the dog, you say, Bismillah, and then you send it. Say, go and catch that mouse, or go and catch that hare, or go and catch that whatever, that deer. If it goes and catches it, and maybe it was so hard in the way it caught it, at least it was able to bleed. But before you could get to it, it died. No problem. It's halal. Once you say Bismillah and you send the dog, it's permissible that you eat it. Do you understand? If it's not a dog you are sending, if you are hunting with a spear or something, you say Bismillah and then you throw the spear. Once it gets the animal, and the animal bleeds as a result of that sharp edge meeting it, then ma anharat dama wa zikra smullahi alayhi fakulu. So you said Bismillah and you sent the spear, and it met it, and then it drew blood from the animal. So the animal bled. But before you could go to slaughter, the animal died. It's okay. It's halal, you can eat it. Now, if any animal, the domesticated ones, like a camel, becomes wild, it's no longer possible to catch it and slaughter, the hukum will be the same as the hukum of the wild beast. Now, what if you have guinea fowl? You know guinea fowl? Guinea fowl. If you train them at home, most of the time you cannot eat them unless you hunt them. They become like wild again, as if they are wild, as if they are not at home. because you cannot catch them. You can't catch them the way you catch your chicken or your turkey or something. So now you have to use a weapon. So you say Bismillah, you use the weapon, it bleeds and dies, you can eat it. I hope this is understood. تعلمونهن مما علمكم الله فكلوا مما أمسكنا عليكم واذكروا اسم الله عليه. So make sure you mention the name of Allah when you are hunting. واتقوا الله and be mindful of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. إن الله سريع الحساب. Because Allah سبحانه وتعالى is quick in what? Hisab. What is hisab? Judgment. There are many ahadith, we don't want to read all of them because they will take our time, in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam taught us how to hunt. I just summarized it in the statements that I made. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, if you are hunting and you send your dog that you have trained was a maita and you named you said Bismillah fa amsaka wa qatala fakul. Idha arsalta kalbaka al-muallam wa sammaita. If you send your dog that you have trained, you send it after an animal, and then it caught an animal, and then he killed the animal before it got to you, because maybe when it bit it, the thing started bleeding, and before you could get to it, it died. Fakul, eat that animal. It's as if it has been slaughtered. Okay, because the qaida is ma anhara dama wa dhukira smallahi alayhi wa in akala fala ta'kul. But if it ate the animal, you know, I said if it is trained, it should not eat. It will only catch and eat for you. But if it started eating, it's not for you, it's for it. So leave it to the dog, let it eat. I hope this is understood. وَإِنْ أَكَلَ فَلَا تَأْكُلْ وَإِنَّمَا أَمْسَكَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. So it caught for itself, not for you. So do not eat that. If there are many dogs were sent, and then they went, and they caught an animal, but the name of Allah was not mentioned, and they killed the animal, whether they ate the animal or not, do not eat. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي أَيُّهَا قَتَلْ. You do not know which of them, the ones that were trained, the ones that were not trained, they all went and caught the animal. You now do not know which one caught the animal, whether the trained one or the untrained one. Therefore, do not eat. Do we understand? وَإِذَا رَمَيْتَ السَّيْدَ فَوَجَدْتَهُ بَعْدَ يَوْمِ أَوْ يَوْمَيْنِ لَيْسَ بِهِ إِلَّا أَثَرُ سَهْلِكَ فَكُلْ. If you threw a spear and you started looking for the spear, you didn't see any animal. The next day you came, you saw your spear on the animal that had been killed. Or your spear was not on the animal, but you saw the animal there and it had been caught by a spear. Your spear was lying somewhere, but you saw that the sign on it is the sign of your spear. Then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, فَقُلْ eat it. وَإِنْ وَقَعَ فِي الْمَاءِ فَلَا تَأْكُلْ. But if you threw at it and it got into the river, do not eat it. أخرجه البخاري ومسلم بنحوه والمصنف في شرح السنة البغوي also reported in شرح السنة. So it's Bukhari and Muslim. So are we looking for whether it's authentic or not? No. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So we are beginning to get into fiqh now. Is it getting tough? Is it getting difficult to understand? So far so good. Alhamdulillah. May we always eat halal. So I think we have run out of time. The first question we have today says, as we know, women are not allowed to use perfume. I think we've answered this question. This, as we know, I've answered it before. This, alias, to know. You're already telling me you know, so why are you asking me again? You already know, so why should I tell you what you already know? It says, as we know, women are not allowed to use perfume outside their husband's house. But it's common now that most of them use roll-on and the creams, body and hair cream, they use to smell. Maybe you want to say they have fragrance. Some will even spray small perfume and say they don't like to experience their body odor. What does the Sharia say about this? It's not too serious. They will not have salah until they come back home and have ghusl janaba, and then wash off the perfume and wear something else that's no perfume, then they can go out. That's the only... So it's not serious, is it? They cannot pray. They cannot pray at all. They don't have any valid salah if they go to the mosque or something. They shouldn't. So they should become temporary Christians that day until they come back home. It's not permissible for women to use perfumes outside their homes. But if it's roll on, the one that will kill the smell, but will not be perceived by people, by the road, you know, men around, will not be perceived by the men, but it will kill the smell of the armpit, it's permissible. Women are allowed to wear perfume that you can see the sign of the perfume, but you cannot perceive the fragrance. It's permissible for women. Just like there are soaps that do not have fragrance, but the latter, would so the foam, when you wash with them during ihram, you see such soaps. So like that, so you can use such perfume that nobody will perceive the fragrance outside, but then at least it will kill the smell of your armpit. That is permissible. But the one, the fragrance of which can be perceived outside, then is not permissible for you. Wallahu a'lam. This one says, regarding the legitimacy of slaughtering animals before eating, how then do we look at those from hunting, as most hunting activities usually kill or wound game? I think we have answered that question now. And maybe they asked this question before this tafsir. So we have answered that question, I'm sure. If you listen to this one, we have answered it. The one you catch in games are permissible. That because they are also slaughter. Once you send, you mention the name of Allah, you throw a spear or anything, or even if you're using a gun for hunting, you use the gun, the thing bleeds, and it dies before you can kill it. Once you say Bismillah, it's permissible. What is the Islamic ruling on partaking in kufr system? Ordinarily, if you have a choice, it's haram. It's haram if you have a choice. It's not permissible. But if you have no choice and the system affects you, this is now social interaction. just like you are allowed to interact with the kuffar. The difference now is that the people at the helm of affairs are kuffar. So the system might not be the ideal Islamic system. And Muslims, Sahaba went and lived in towns and countries where the people were Darul Kufr, but they went to preach Islam. So you preach Islam, but you stay under the rule until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings victory. Before the victory, you're under that system. And as long as you keep within the precincts of Islam, you can work under that system, because you exist under the system, you are automatically working under the system. Whether you work for the government or not, whether you participate in their politics or not, you are automatically under that system. And you are answerable to the system. In fact, you even pay tax to the system, which is ordinarily haram. You are automatically, and you use their money. Their money that ordinarily we wouldn't have been using. So all those things have kept you already under that system. So just fear Allah and make sure that as much as possible you abstain from those things that are haram. I hope I've answered this question. This one says, for someone who cannot carry on fasting without eating sahur, what will such a person do if he wakes up during fiqh? During fiqh? Okay, fajr is also correct. That's been this nonsense for people. So he wrote fajr and they wrote fiqh. So you see, this is part of working for a system that is not Islamic. If you use this form, you are working for a system, because you can write the name of Allah, they write something else. I know sometimes when I'm spelling Allah, there's a word that always comes out. They want to write another word instead of Allah because the system does not recognize Allah. You're writing Rasul, they're writing something else. You're writing Prophet, they're writing something else. You have seen it. When you are typing Prophet, it will be telling you something else. Unless you insist that it's Prophet you want to write. So, I mean, this is working under a kufr system. Something that does not recognize the religion. Yet, you have to obey it and do what it wants. So this is daruratan, Allah ta'ala alam. So he says, if he cannot continue without sahur, then of course you eat. After Ramadan, you pay back. Maybe you have an altar, you're managing it with drugs and all that, and now somehow you woke up late, there's no sahur. If you continue with the fast without sahur, there will be a problem for you. Then you keep it. Don't fast. After Ramadan, you pay back. Huh? والله تعالى أعلم. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك، واحفظنا من طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، واحفظنا من اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا، ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا. ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. شير. شير. الله يبارك الله فيك.
Thank you. Yes.